Thank you for tuning in to the ReLove Podcast. We hope today's message encourages you.
Let's thank Tiffany for coming and sharing with us some tips on how we can experience emotional health and mental health. And I want to thank you for thank B and Lon for sharing their testimony. I'm a fan of therapy, and I just wanted to say this because I know we had ladies up here, and there may be some men in the audience who are like, oh, therapy's for ladies. I'm big and I'm tough and I don't need therapy. No, fellas, sometimes we need to talk to somebody too. Oh, I thought somebody would say amen. I thought the ladies would be like, yes, you need to talk to somebody. No, yeah, we need therapy as well. And therapy is not an admission of anything other than I want to make sure that I am mentally well and emotionally well. In fact, I want to ask you a question this morning. When you all got started, when you were 15, 16 years old, how many of you all, before you started and you got your driver's license, you actually had like lessons? Did anyone here get lessons? Driver's lessons? Anybody here? A few? I'm worried about those who didn't. Someone taught you how to drive, right? Okay, so someone taught you how to drive. Excellent. When you all were 4, 5, 6 years old, how did you learn how to read, right? Did someone teach you how to read? Was there someone, your parent or a teacher, who pulled you aside and said, let me teach you the ABCs? Do you all remember who taught you the ABCs, right? Do you need someone who taught you how to read? When you were working your job and you got hired to serve in whatever capacity you're serving, did you go through an orientation? Did anyone here go through orientation? Was anyone just thrown in and be like, figure it out, right? Generally, I mean, maybe, but that's not really how it's supposed to be. And so what's interesting is that in all of these areas, thank you so much, Izzy. What's interesting is all of these areas, someone had to teach us, and someone had to train us, and someone had to come alongside of us to help us figure out how do we work this thing. And yet what's interesting is that how many of you all have ever experienced training exactly for how to use your mind? The most powerful tool in our entire body. You know what? It's the most powerful thing on the planet. Is your mind. But how many of us have ever received training on how to use our mind? No, a lot of times we just got started, popped out of our mother's womb. We popped out of our mother's womb and it started growing. We started growing. We started figuring things out, kind of trial and error. And now we're adults, we're grown. And some of us still don't know the power of our mind. And that our mind is not just powerful, but our mind is so powerful that it can create, it can imagine, it can do some great and awesome and mighty things, this mind that God has given us. And yet, in order to truly maximize our mind so that we can leverage all of this power for our good, we have to have someone come alongside of us and say, you know what? This is how you use it. And this is how you abuse it. Because if we don't have that training, inevitably what we will do is we will abuse it. And we will find ourselves overwhelmed with stress and anxiety and frustration and all types of negative thoughts that will produce in us body aches. And all types of frustration in our body and negative hormones, negative chemicals will be released in our body, and it will tear our bodies down because of the power of the mind. You know, I was experiencing, my wife has been, over the last four weeks, she's been going to these mindfulness classes. Is anyone here familiar with mindfulness? Right, so she's been going to these mindfulness classes in Loma Linda, and she's so excited. And I can't go because I'm staying with the girls, but she goes, and she is so excited about these mindfulness classes. And she comes back, and she's just like in a state of peace and like tranquility. She's like, nothing can stop me. Like, nothing can faze me. I have the power of my mind. And she will do her mindfulness exercises every night, where she will just sit there and she will just relax, and she'll hear the person's voice, and he'll say, now lay down on the bed and what do you feel? And just really going, if you've ever done it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've never done it, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But truly, it is one of the most powerful things that you can do, is really to get into mindfulness. And so this week, I was experiencing just a little bit of my own personal stress in my life. And I was wrestling with God with some things and struggling with some things. And my wife was like, you just need some mindfulness. So she took my hand. She's like, let me lead you through a mindfulness session. And then she did something that was so powerful. She says, I want you to repeat after me. And she repeated a prayer. And at first, it was kind of like silly. It was like, okay, really? I'm going to really repeat this prayer after you. She repeated a prayer. And she said, I want you to repeat after me. And she said this prayer of surrender and a prayer of release. And I repeated it after her. And about halfway through, I just felt the release. And I realized that, wow, our mind is so powerful. And if we don't know how to use it and how to tap into it, we will literally abuse it and it'll destroy our bodies. Many of us in here are under stress. Anyone experience stress this week like myself? Right? Financial stress, stress on the job, stress in your marriage, stress with your children. I mean, some of us, we wake up and stress is just waiting there for us. Yeah? You come home and when you pull up the garage, stress is standing right there saying, welcome home. Come on in. You pull into the job, and as soon as you pull into your parking spot, stress is waiting for you. There's some of us where right when you get off the exit from the highway and you see your job, your neck begins to tense up, and your bones begin to get stressed because you realize what you're about to walk into. Now, what they say in positive psychology has done a lot of studies on stress, and what they suggest is that not all stress is bad stress. In fact, we need stress to actually perform. We need a certain level of stress. But I want to show you this thing. I want to show you this slide. So this is what they call like the stress paradigm. And if you can't see it here, you can look on the large screen. And so what they say is that this is performance, and this is the demands or pressure that often leads to stress. And they say as performance increases and pressure increases, we begin to experience increased levels of stress. Now, what they suggest is that if you are in this quadrant over here, right, this first quadrant, and there's no stress in your life, what they suggest is that you actually will be very bored. You will go insane if there's no stress in your life. And that we need an appropriate amount of stress because there's a point where we get optimal performance where the stress is just enough that will drive us into performance. It'll drive us to execute. It'll drive us to perform. It'll drive us to get out of bed and to attack our goals and to attack the objectives that we're trying to accomplish for the day. And so there is an optimal level of stress that is needed in order to optimize performance. But then most of us, we don't dwell in this pink segment. Many of us are over here where we get overloaded. And what they suggest is that too much stress, it causes fatigue, poor judgment and decision-making, and then it gets to the point where exhaustion, and it leads to the onset of serious health problems. Do you know anyone who has experienced so much stress it's put them in the hospital? So much stress that they have to take medication? So much stress that it's like they just don't know how they're gonna function, and they are just debilitated, and that stress leads to depression. And the depression leads to them not wanting to get out of the bed in the morning. It's because they are overloaded with stress. And so when we talk about stress and mental health and emotional wellness, I'm not saying that, listen, you should be stress-free and that you should not have any amount of stress. No, I do think there is an appropriate amount that will drive performance. But what I want to talk to you today about is how, in spite of the stress and the pressure, say pressure, the pressure that we experience in this life, God has given us something that will help us maximize our potential if we tap into it. And a lot of it begins with understanding how powerful our mind is. So I want you to do this. I want you to take your hand, and I want you to form a C. Everyone with me. We're about to have a little mindfulness exercise in Jesus' name. I want you to form a C. Now, as you have that C, I want you to imagine that there is a lemon in your hand. If you like lemons, or maybe a mango, or a kiwi, there's some fruit in your hand. Imagine what it is. I say a lemon. And I want you to turn the lemon, and I want you to look at it on all sides. And then I want you to bring that lemon to your mouth, and I want you to take a bite out of that lemon. And I want you to taste the sting in the back of your mouth and feel the juice flowing in your mouth. How many of you all had a response? How many of you actually started salivating just a little bit? How is it possible that a physical response could come out of an imaginary lemon? It's the power of our minds. Taken to the opposite extreme, we could talk about lust. And I could talk about how maybe a young woman can walk in here and you can see her, the fellas could see her, or even a young man could walk in here and the ladies could see him. And all of a sudden, your body begins to respond. Or maybe no one is even in here, but you just think about your spouse and you start salivating. And you get aroused by thinking about them. Your body is responding to something that's going on in your mind. That is how powerful our mind is. And if we don't truly understand it, we will abuse it and fail to experience all that God has in store for us. In fact, the Bible says it like this in Proverbs. I want you to see this. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, what? What is it trying to convey to us? That your thoughts actually produce a reality that you will live in and that you will live out. And that if you're not careful, if you think you can, you're right. And if you think you can't, guess what? You're also right. Because as you think in your mind, if you think you are strong and you think you are beautiful and you think you can be successful, you are successful. If you think you are smart and if you think you are brilliant, you will actually begin to will yourself into that lifestyle. But if you think you are less than, and you think you're poor, and you think you're stupid, and you think you're not smart, you're not pretty, you'll begin to will yourself into that lifestyle. All because of our thoughts. Because what happens is our thoughts then turn to words. In Proverbs, the wisest man who ever lived, he also said this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. He said death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when you tell yourself, I can't, you are actually speaking something into reality. And when you tell yourself you're stupid, you're speaking something into reality. And when you tell yourself you're not smart enough, you're speaking something into reality. And so I don't want to ever hear someone say, I'm not smart enough, or I'm stupid, or I just can't do it. No, every day you wake up and every day you tell yourself, I am smart enough. I do have courage. I am bold. I am brave. And I think I look pretty good too. And you tell yourself that because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about some people who you would say you would classify as successful. A lot of times, individuals who are successful, it's because they believe in themselves. They refuse to allow the circumstances around them to dictate and determine what happens, but they have an internal fortitude and a drive that says, I know who I am, I know what I can do, and they will continue to press on. I think about some of the sports stars that we look at, whether it's the LeBron Jameses or the James Hardens or these individuals who are exceeding expectations. Well, maybe not LeBron so much this year, but, you know, generally speaking, they are exceeding expectations, and they are on a whole nother level. I think about some of the women's athletes and individuals, you know, who ski down mountains, the Lindsey Vonns, and these individuals who accomplish great feats, the Michael Phelps of the world. And yes, they trained, and yes, they have a physical body that allows them to perform, but greater than all of that is their mind. Kobe Bryant was no bigger or smaller than the next person in the NBA, but his mindset was different. He believed that he could, and he actually did take all of the shots. But he believed something, that no matter what happens, I am a champion. I'll never forget the first year LeBron was in Miami. What year was that, like 2014, maybe like 5-6 years ago, where his first year, his first season in Miami. And I don't remember if you remember, but he went down to Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, and they have this big this big like parade for him. And he said, not one, not two, y'all remember that? Not three, not four. He was like promising championships. He's like, this is how many championships we're gonna bring to Miami. Not five, not six. And so the first year they hit some bumps in the road. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. I believe they beat Boston. They went to the championships and they faced Dallas. And everyone thought, okay, they'll be able to beat Dallas, no problem. But there was one person on Dallas's team, not Dirk Nowitzki. One person, the Jet, Terry. And what blew my mind was that at the beginning of the season, Terry the Jet got a tattoo of the championship trophy on his arm right there. Before the season ever started, he believed, I don't care if LeBron comes in my way, I don't care who stands in my way, he says, I just believe that this year we're gonna win a championship. So much so that he got it tattooed on his arm. Now, I'm not suggesting you go get tattoos. Maybe get you a crown of righteousness right there, right? Say, listen, I believe one day I'm gonna receive that thing. Listen, I won't be mad at you. But there was something about that where he said, I believe this thing so hard, so much, that I'm getting it tatted on my body. And that year they actually won. And he played a pivotal role in them winning the championship. And when I saw that, it spoke to me about the power of our thoughts and the power of our mind. Now, this is what happens when it comes to like our emotions, and I want to show you how emotions work. And this is crazy to me, because if you ever experienced stress, like this begins to like peel back the layers of where this stress comes from. Can we walk through it real quick? I promise it won't be long. So the first thing is there is some object, right? There's some object. And now this object is something that we can see. It's in our consciousness. It's not so much something we can see, but it's conscious. It could be in our mind, but it's something that we are actually thinking about or can see or experiencing. This object is a thing, a person, an action, an event, an idea, or a memory. So I can think about, man, when I had to speak, you know, at a certain conference, and it was, you know, thousands of people at this conference, and the idea of speaking in front of thousands of people, it caused me stress. Or you can think about how that time you had to go to the doctor and maybe you had to have surgery and like, I don't know what's gonna happen. And the idea of you going under the knife caused you stress. Or maybe you had a big interview coming up and you start to worry and say, you know what, there's something coming up, this idea, this interview, and it causes you stress. Or maybe in your childhood, maybe in your past, you had a rough childhood and you were abused. Or something happened to you, and every time you think about it, it causes you stress. The object is a thing, or it could be a person. You can see someone, a coworker, or a family member. You don't like going to Thanksgiving dinners because they're always there. You see them, you know they're there, you think about them, it causes you stress. The question is, what happens that causes you stress? Well, look, so the first thing is the object. And the object, the thing, person, action, we then experience this thing called cognition. Say cognition. Now, cognition is perception of the object plus the context plus the stored knowledge about the object, right? So I have this interview that's coming up, and I know I've had 3 or 4 interviews before, and my stored knowledge about the interview, I didn't get those jobs, so therefore I don't think I'm gonna get this job. And this cognition, my perception of the object, it begins to take place. Now the cognition is in blue because the cognition is subconscious. And I hope you're writing this down or taking notes, because I want you to catch this. The cognition is subconscious. It just happens. You're not aware of this component in your mental, emotional experience. It's just happening. So there is an object, let's say your cousin. This cousin always causes you stress. Why? Because they've been mean, and the context is Thanksgiving dinner, y'all always fall out, and your stored knowledge about this person is that they're a jerk, right? And so when you think about them or when you see them, it automatically begins to lead to stress. So you have this thing called cognition. But there's another step after cognition. It's value appraisal. Value appraisal says you begin to measure the value of the object. So is this like how heavy and weighty is this? So is this interview I'm going to, is it like, if the interview is really important, then guess what? I'm going to be more stressed because the value of this interview, the weight of this interview is really pressing upon me. If the interview is not that important, I'm not really excited about the job, then I might not be stressed about it. If going to Thanksgiving dinner, I really want to impress my family. I really don't want to go, but they want me there. And I'm bringing my girlfriend, I'm bringing my boyfriend for the first time. And I know my cousin's going to act a fool. And the value of that moment, you want to have a good moment, but you know it's not going to be a good moment because of that, the pressure in that moment, it leads to stress. Otherwise, if you didn't care what your cousin thought and you didn't care what your family thought, you would go there and you would probably act a fool yourself. Like, I don't care what y'all think. And you wouldn't have stress. But because of the value that you place on it, it leads to stress. Then, and these are both subconscious. Then, the next item is the emotion. So, I think about the interview. I failed the last two interviews, didn't get the job. This interview is really important, right? So, there's a lot of weight behind this interview. And then it leads to a state of mind, which is fear, anxiety, stress. And that state of mind, it then leads to, last one, a response. My palms get sweaty, I start stuttering, I start second guessing myself. They're asking me simple, basic questions, and I'm kind of like, I'm kind of all over the place, I begin rambling. Why? Because of my state of mind. And both the yellow objects are things that happen in the conscious, and the blue objects are things that happen in the subconscious. Now, let me break this down one more time for you. So let me give you an example. So let's say, for example, this object is a lion. You see a lion. If a lion were to walk into the parking lot after church, right, you see this lion. It is a thing. It is an animal. Okay, so the next step is we have cognition. What does our stored knowledge about the object tell us? That lions kill people. So because lions kill people, then, and I value my life, what happens? The next value appraisal is lions are a what? What does it say? Lions are a threat. I see the lion. I have this cognition, this stored knowledge that lions kill people. Therefore, I don't want to die. Therefore, lions are a threat. And so my emotion is fear. And what is my response? To run. Yes. What is the lion in your life? What's the thing, the person, the action, the event, the idea, the memory that when you look at it, it leads you to stress, it leads you to fear? Maybe it is feeling like you're going to fail at your business. You started your own business. Or maybe it is you don't know if your marriage is going to work out. Or maybe it's your job. Or maybe it's your health. Or maybe you feel like you've done this so many things and you keep getting the short end of the stick and you never get that job and nothing ever happens for you. And so in your mind, your stored knowledge says, it's not going to work out for me. And it leads to a lot of stress because you really need this job and you really want this job. And so what happens, your emotion might not be fear, but your emotion might be defeat. And so you start looking at yourself like, oh, I'm just nobody. Oh, it's never going to happen. It never works out for me. It never works out for my family. And this never happens for me. And so then your response is to stop trying. Your response is to settle. Your response is to stop expecting God to do great things in your life because your emotions have taken control. My question to you is, something has to change about this situation. And I believe the Bible gives us some counsel on how we can actually, this situation can change. Now, the reality is that in all of our lives, there are lions. And the lions are not going anywhere. The lions are not going anywhere. Turn to your neighbor and say, the lions are not going anywhere. Stress and pressure does not go away. Pressure does not go away. Pressure does not go away. In fact, Jesus tells us, he tells us in John chapter 16, he says, here on earth, you will have what? Many trials and sorrows. Like, stop thinking that if you become a Christian, that somehow the trials and sorrows will go away. No, the trials and sorrows don't go away. They're always there. There's a parable of two men. One man built his house on the sand. One man built his house on the rock. And the Bible tells us that the rains came and the storm came on both of the houses. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you won't have any rainy days. In fact, because you're a Christian, you'll probably have more rainy days. The lines are going. So Jesus tells us, here on earth, you will have many trials and you will have many sorrows. But then he says, listen, but take heart. Now go back one. He says, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. He says, in fact, I have told you all this so that you may have what? You may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So the question is not how do I, and in fact, if you go back for me one slide, Keith, just go back one. The question is not how can I get rid of the lion? No, the question is, how can I have different stored knowledge about the lion so that stored knowledge about the lion will lead to a different value appraisal of the lion, which will lead to a different emotion, which will lead to a different response? Because the lions are not going anywhere. If you're a man, you will always have pressure to perform. You will always have pressure to provide for your family. You will always have pressure to be strong and tall and to take care of your responsibility. If you're a woman, you will always have pressure. The pressure will always be there that do you look good enough? And are you slim enough? And are you this enough? And are you that enough? That pressure will always be there. That's life. There is always this pressure upon all of us. Whether it's to perform at home, whether it's to perform on the job, whether it's to look a certain way, be a certain way, act a certain way, the issue is not the object. The issue is how do we, what knowledge about the object, how does that inform our response? And my burden for us is not to try to somehow put you in an incubator or in a cocoon that will keep pressure away from you. No, because the pressure actually comes and it makes us stronger. Talk to someone who works out. What do? They put pressure on themselves. Pressure on their chest, pressure on their legs, and that pressure, it breaks down muscles. Those muscles rebuild themselves, and that pressure actually makes them stronger. So if you're praying, God, make me stronger. God, give me more grace. God, help me to become better. God, help me to reach my goals. Guess how God's going to do it? Pressure. He's not going to take pressure away from you. He's going to put more pressure on you. Because pressure is how we grow. In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say that. Pressure is how we go. Pressure is how we grow. Pressure is how we grow. The difference in determining whether the pressure actually leads to growth or whether the pressure destroys us is what happens right here. How do you perceive the pressure? So go forward for me, Keith. So we said, Jesus tells us, listen, it's always going to happen. But then he also tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us a spirit of fear about our lions. I inserted that point, but it's good. He has not given us fear. So whatever your lion is, maybe it's a child. Maybe it's not making enough money. A job, or your health, whatever your lion is, God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear about your lion, but what I have given you is power. What else? Come on, say it with me. Love and what else? And a sound mind. This is what I have given you. This power, love, and a sound mind. So the question that I want to answer for you today is how? How do we experience the lions in our life, but then still be able to just be at peace in the midst? How can we be like a Daniel who was actually thrown into a lion's den, and yet we not worry about it? How can we be like a David who stood before the lion called Goliath and not worry about it? How can we be like the three Hebrew boys who faced the lion called the fiery furnace and not worry about it? How can we be like Esther, who faced the lion of her people being extinguished and yet we can have courage and not have worry and fear? How can we be like Ruth and face the lion of forsakenness and being alone the rest of our lives and still feel like God is still in control? How can we be like these individuals? How can we be like Jesus and face the lion of the cross and still realize that I'm at peace? I believe that God desires all of us to experience this. And so if you are under the oppression that God's not working on your behalf because your lions are continuing to roar and your lions are in your bank account. Any lions in bank accounts up in here? I got a few, yeah. You got some lions in your bank account and you got some lions in your cupboard and you got a lion in your car that thing keeps breaking down. You got a lion on your job. Listen, lions aren't going to go away. And even if you try to get rid of all the lions, the external lions, there's always going to be lions up here telling you you're not good enough. You can have $1 million in the bank, and we know this is true because it happens all the time in Hollywood and in sports. These athletes got millions of dollars in the bank, but they got lions up here. Or you can have a beautiful family and throw it all away because of lions up here. So how do we deal with these lions? The Bible tells us. He says in John chapter 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another what? Helper. He will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know for him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The way that we fight the lions is not on our own, but we have this thing called the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is not something we should be afraid of. It's not some mystical force that comes in and makes everyone fall out and speak in tongues. It's not someone that caused you to jump real high and to fall out. In fact, I was watching a clip on Facebook. A friend of mine sent me, and he said, man, this is why people hate the church, because there was a pastor, and he was laying hands on people, and everyone was doing backflips in the church and falling out, and the pastor was falling out. It's like, listen, that's not what the Holy Spirit's trying to do, y'all. He's not trying to get people slain in the spirit and we rolling around on the ground. Now, if you get happy and you want to roll, we'll make some room for you. But that's not our goal, is to get you excited. Our goal is to stabilize your core and to get you grounded so that you can face the lions in your life. And you can look at them and you can say, I will fear no evil, though an army come against me. This I do know, that I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor my seed begging for bread. That even when all hell breaks loose in your life, you can be peace in the midst of the storm because the helper is there right with you. And so this is what it looks like. If you go forward one for me. So we have a lion, and the lion, our cognition tells us that the lions kill people. We value our lives, and so because the lions kill people, we feel like the lions are a threat. So something has to happen right now. Something has to happen in this subconscious level that will change our emotion response. Because before, this subconscious level led us to fear, which led us to run. However, I believe that when the helper comes in, the helper comes in right here, God's helper comes here right in this subconscious level. And so while, yes, the lion is a threat, but for some reason, I don't feel like my life is being threatened. While, yes, the lion is dangerous, and I've seen him take some folk out, I have a helper that lets me know that I am with you and that it will not come near you. It won't affect you, but that you can endure the pressure. As a Christian, you can endure the pressure, not because of your strength, but because of God's strength. Do I got anybody in here who likes to work out, right? I used to back in the day. Like, it's been a little while. Y'all can probably tell. Y'all need to pray for your pastor. So whenever you go work out, especially if you go to like an LA Fitness, 24-hour fitness, you know, and you go and you get on the bench, right? Get on the bench press, you throw some weights on that bench press, you're laying down, you're going to get a pump chest, a swole chest, and you start pumping that weight, and you're doing reps, 1, 2, 3, and you're 10, 15 reps. At some point, you will start to burn out, right? So you add a little more weight, you want to get a bigger chest, you add a little more weight, and inevitably what happens is the weight becomes too heavy for you. But you recognize that the only way that you're going to actually get stronger, Joe, is if you lift heavier weight. You won't grow stronger lifting lighter weight. You might get real defined. You might get real cut up, but you won't be any stronger. If you want to grow stronger, you have to lift heavier weight. And so the way that you actually lift heavier weight without it killing you is you have to get this thing called a spotter. Anyone know what a spotter is? Yeah. A spotter is that person who comes behind you. And really, if you have a good spotter, they will know how much weight to actually place on you. Because while you're lifting it, they will be right over you and their hands will go up and down with you, up and down with you. And when they see you struggling, guess what the spotter will do? They'll just lift it a little bit. And just a little bit of help from the spotter feels like a whole lot of help for the person who's underneath the weight. Well, what I want to convey to you is that in your Christian life, the Holy Spirit is that spotter. He doesn't come to take the pressure off of you. No, he just comes and says, listen, I got you. This won't break you. This won't crush you. I know exactly the amount of help that you need in order for you to develop the muscles that you want, right? You want your shirts to look a little tighter, right? Summer's coming. You want to look good. I know exactly what you need. And so he allows just the right amount of assistance and give and leverage so that you feel the weight and the pressure, but it does not crush you. If you have a good spotter, you can keep throwing weight on there. Now, I've had a few spotters that weren't worth their salt. They up there spotting me, and I'm under the weight, and they looking around, right? And the whole time I'm under the weight, I'm looking at them, looking around, saying, hold on, brother. Like, I need your focus on me right now. They might step back and take out their phone. Oh, you got it. You good. And they sit. No. That's not how the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not distracted, right? He stays right above you every step of the way. This is what the Word of God says. Like when he says, my peace I leave with you. He's essentially saying, listen, what you need in your life in that subconscious level is you need my peace. And I'm giving you my peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is your lion? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is your lion? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is your lion? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because every day, God gives us his peace. Where is it, you say? I need it. It's right there. Right when you wake up in the morning. Right there on your nightstand. God, he left you peace. Not your phone. We talked about that last week. Not your phone. Every morning, God sets a portion of peace right by your bed. So that when you're laying down, if you would just roll over and hit your knees, you would find peace for the day. But many of us, we roll over, and we jump in the shower, we jump in our clothes, we jump in the car, and we leave the peace right by the bed where God left it for us. And we go into the day trying to tackle our to-do list and trying to tackle all the things that are set before us, and we wonder why we're burnt out. We wonder why we're stressed. We wonder why we're overwhelmed, because we did not pick up the peace that God left for us right next to our bed. What am I saying to you? That if you want the peace to face the lions and to not be afraid, every single day you must spend time with God. Every single day. Not one of those every other day type relationships, right? Not one of those once a week type relationships. If you want the peace to overcome the lions, every day you must spend time with God. Every day. And so this is what it looks like. God's helper comes, and we begin to see this lion differently. Yes, the lion still kills people, but for some reason, I'm not afraid of this lion. Why? Because God's helper has come, and he, in my subconscious, he has informed me through the word of God and downloading the word of God in my mind that when I see the lion approaching, somehow this text pops in my mind, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? It's in my subconscious. I don't even think about it. It just pops up in my mind. Or when you see the lion approaching, or the lion, when you pick up your phone and it's the lion who's calling you, something just overwhelms you and you say, you know what? This sickness is not unto death. This thing came that God might be glorified. Or when you open your mail and you open your mailbox and the lion is in your mailbox waiting for you in the form of a bill. Hello, somebody. And you take out the bill. You know, folks, it used to cause you fear and stress, but now you realize that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And for some reason, I'm just not fazed by the lion. Yes, the lion is still there. And yes, the lion still wants to take me out. And yes, on a bad day, I might give in to the fear, but not today. Why? Because I picked up my peace. I picked up my peace. So I know there's nothing that can stand in front of me that will be a threat to my success. And that even if the job says no, oh, it's not them. God has something else for me. It's not an indication of my value or my worth or my intellect. Man, this God has something for me. Why? Because my peace this morning told me that in all your ways, acknowledge me and I will direct your path. And so if you're directing my path and I don't get into the program, then God, what you must be telling me is that this program wasn't for me. Now, yes, I acknowledge that this is easier said than done, but it can be done if you pick up the peace. And so when you get God's help, the emotion that you experience is God's peace. And your response is God's rest. It's God's rest. You see, we thought rest was a day on Sabbath that you don't do any work, right? I mean, that is rest, but there's another type of rest that should be on top of that rest, and that is the rest which is the peace that passes all understanding. Come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest only comes when you experience God's peace, which only comes when every day you wake up and you take the peace that he leaves for you right by your bed. God's help. So he says in his word, oh, let me show you this. Yeah. He says, peace. No, go back one. He says, go back one for me. This to the text. He says, peace, I leave with you. Peace, I leave with you. I'm not leaving you stress. I'm not leaving you fear. I'm not leaving you anxiety. I'm leaving you my peace. Izzy, you can come and play for us. The question is, do you want God's peace? Do you really want God's peace? It's not something that you have to like beg for. It's not something you have to cut yourself for, or something that you have to fast for 40 days for. It's not something that you have to deny yourself for. It's not something that you have to like run miles to get. No, he says every day, my mercy is new every morning. As the dew is upon the grass, so my peace is right there by your bed. Now some of you might be like, okay, Pastor, I hear you. But if I turn over in my bed the wrong way and face the person in the other side of my bed, that ain't peace, Pastor. Listen. God says if you fall on your face every morning, and even if you can't spend an hour, you spend just a few moments, and you say, Spirit of the living God, oh, fall afresh. That what I experience today, where I go today, what happens to me today, you're in control. Do you have the courage to surrender your day to God and say, God, I give you responsibility for my day, And in exchange for the authority that I give you, I take your peace. But pastor, I've done that before and I still failed. I prayed that God would open up doors and they still closed. I prayed that God would heal and they still died. I prayed that God would restore and it still brought division and divorce. Can you go back to that John 16 for me, Keith? John 16. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. You can be a Christian, and God doesn't, this is not a promise that you won't experience anything. In fact, we don't have the slide up. I don't know, Keith, if you can work your magic and put it up, but Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It's a familiar passage. I'm sure many of you know it. If you don't, it's just for you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, let your gentleness be made known to all men, the Lord's at hand. And then he says in verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and you will never have any problems in your life. Is that what it says? Let your requests be made known to God, and your husband will always act right. Let your requests be made known unto God, and you'll get that raise. Let your requests be made known unto God, and you'll be cancer-free. Let your requests be made known unto God, and your kids will always act right. Let your requests be made known to God, and your wife will have a meal prepared for you when you get home. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the promise of God is not that everything will work out, but the promise of God is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. God never promises us that we will have prosperity all the days of our life. Financial prosperity or in our marriage. There's a lot of Christian marriages that don't last. I believe they can last, but for whatever, they don't last. There's a lot of Christians who are believers and who are righteous who die of cancer and do not die of disease. There's a lot of Christians who are unemployed. It's not a guarantee that your life will be perfect, but what this says is that when you go through hell and high water, you will have peace in the midst of your storm. And this peace is so crazy, he says, you won't understand it. You will not understand it. It is by the grace and the goodness of God alone. It's almost as if he's saying, the lion is there, but the peace is a fence. It's a guard between you and the lion. And that peace will guard your hearts. Now don't do like that lady did a couple weeks ago and got all close to the jaguar and got her arm bit. Like, you stay in peace. You stay in peace. Don't go chasing lions. TLC told us, don't go chasing waterfalls. Listen, you stick to the lakes and rivers that you used to. Right. Don't go chasing stuff. But when stuff comes chasing you, the peace of God will keep you. You want the peace of God today in your heart? Will you stand with me if you want the peace of God? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're standing all over this place because we're saying within ourselves, God, we want your grace. We want your peace. We want mental health. We want emotional health. We want physical health. We want spiritual health. And it comes with the right mind, right thoughts, understanding. Yes, stress is there, but the stress doesn't have to destroy us. Stress doesn't have to crush us, but we can have peace in spite of the pain and the pressure. Because there is a helper, the Holy Spirit comes and he's lifting the weight with us. And we're growing under this weight of pressure. And there's things that we can do today that we couldn't have done last year because the pressure has gotten us stronger and we're more fortified. But there's always more weight being added and there's more grace for us. And God, my prayer is for your peace to rest on your people. That while we face these lions and these giants, Lord, we will not be afraid. For you will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The people of God say amen.